have your own Bibles. Today's text is from Romans chapter 10, and starting at verse 5. So I will read from here, and if you can, please join me and also read out loud, and we'll read it together. We'll read all the way to the end of the chapter, to verse 21. So Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law.
The person who does these things will live by them.
But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesseth all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people.
Let's come up a little bit. Thank you. Good evening, church. Good evening, church. Respectfully, I greet you again. Good evening, church. I hope you're happy today, right? Is it because Pastor Paul is not here, you're not happy? God is here, amen. First, let me thank God and thank the leaders of the church and all of you here for the opportunity you've given to me to share God's word with you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that, Lord, you are already with us to speak your word. It's a prayer that, Lord, you come and speak your own word. We thank you for hearing our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Today, I'm going to preach about the topic, salvation to all. Salvation to all. And remember the text that we read? We read Romans chapter 10, verses 5 to 21. Romans chapter 10, verses 5 to 21. In this passage, Paul is dealing with a problem which led the people of Israel astray. Their problem was simple. they were misunderstanding. I mean, they didn't understand the Old Testament revelation that appeared in Romans chapter 9, verses 10, verses 30 through to Romans chapter 9, verses 30, then to chapter 10 and verse 13. They were not willing to accept the fact that even within their Old Testament law, righteousness came by faith alone, rather than being obedient to their Torah. We found this in Romans chapter 9, verses 30 to 33. They failed to recognize that Christ is the end of the Old Testament law for righteousness or salvation. They failed to accept the fact that Jesus Christ represents the Old Testament law for salvation. In this passage, we look at the first point, which is righteousness. I think it's being projected here. Righteousness of the law and by faith. Righteousness of the law and by faith. And under this topic, we talk about righteousness of the law, which is based on verse 5. And righteousness of the law and by faith is verses 5 to 8. And under this topic, we talk about righteousness of the law, which is verse 5, and righteousness by faith. Remember, Paul is comparing and contrasting the difference between righteousness by law and righteousness by faith here. So, righteousness by the law. Paul is quoting from the writings of Moses. The people of Israel had a problem in observing the Old Testament laws. Why? This is because of their inability to be able to observe the law accordingly. It was very hard. It wasn't easy. Because the demands were so deep that they could not fulfill the law. They failed to be able to abide by the law accordingly. And righteousness by faith. What is Paul saying here? What he's saying here is that the salvation from the law is just by work. So it means that if you believe that you get your salvation based on the Old Testament law, it means that it's like you are striving, you are trying to earn your salvation. It's just by work. But this time around, it's not like that. Salvation is by faith only. Here, Paul's main point is that to be righteous is by grace alone. See, in God's own wisdom, he realized that it was very difficult for man to be able to abide by the Old Testament laws and pass everything. No, man was just failing to be able to observe the law. It was very hard for man. So in God's own wisdom and understanding, and because of God who is so love, he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for you and me. That's why this common text, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son, that whoever will believe in him will never perish, but have what? Eternal life. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short the glory of what? God. Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God sent his own son to come and die for us. So this time around, it means that now faith, or to be justified, or to be righteous, or to be saved, is just by grace alone. How? By believing the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him as your personal savior, and allow him to come and take control over your life. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, grace means unmerited favor. That is the traditional definition for grace. Grace means unmerited favor. God wants to save us. God wants to save you and me. So it's just by favor. Jesus is asking you and me to come to him for righteousness. So this time around, righteousness doesn't come from the Old Testament law anymore. However, it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to die for you and me. So it's a matter of confessing Jesus Christ, accepting him as your personal savior, according to the Bible. So Jesus is calling you and me. So it means that salvation this time around is not by, it's by atonement, right? It's not by attainment. It's about Jesus Christ coming to shed his, he was sent from heaven to come and shed his blood for you and me. So it's just through atonement. So we don't attain our salvation through our own effort anymore. We don't struggle. It's not eating this anymore. It's not eating this anymore. It's clean or not. It's up. No, no, no. It's about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about grace. So salvation is about atonement. It's not attainment. In other words, we don't work for our own salvation. It's just by the grace. It's a matter of surrendering. It's a matter of saying that, Lord, today I have given my life to you. I have given myself to you. Today I am taking you as my personal savior and accepting him and allow him to come and be the king of your life. So this time around, we don't struggle for salvation again. You know, God is love. Amen. He's so love. And you know something? The love of Jesus Christ is like himself. You know, your friend's attitude can change towards you because something small. There's a small grudge. Even your feelings can change. Your attitudes can change. But the love of Jesus Christ is like him. He doesn't change. He shows his life, he loves to everyone. You remember the story of this parable, the Pharisee and the parable. He said, two men went to pray in a temple. One man was a Pharisee, and one man was what? A tax collector. And in those days, they considered tax collectors as the sinners. Every collector, tax collector was considered as a sinner. So the Pharisee and the tax collector, they went to the church or to the temple to pray. And you know what? This is how the Pharisee prayed. Lord, you know I am holy. You know I'm holier than those unrighteous, those sinners. You know I pay my tax. You know I pay my tithe. You know I fast twice in a week. You know, Lord, I am holy. I'm holy, God. I am holy. I am holy. And the Bible says that the tax collector also went and said, Lord, I accept that I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sin. I accept that I've sinned against you. I'm so regretted. I'm so remorse. And I've realized my sins. So I surrender all. I surrender my heart. I surrender my mind. I surrender my soul. I surrender my body. Lord, take it all. The Bible says that the tax collector was justified by God. But the Pharisee wasn't justified. Because the Bible says that he who exalts himself will be humble. And he who humbles himself will be what? Exalted. So the tax collector, he was so humble, accepted that he was a sinner. I don't know tonight or today how We see ourselves. And sometimes it's not a matter of that you are a sinner. You have sinned or you are doing that. You see, because of Adamic nature, unless we confess our sins, we are sinners. We are born as sinners. So unless we confess that we are sinners, we surrender all. We have come to you. Lord, take my heart. Take my soul. Take my spirit. Take my time. Take my money. Take my everything. Everything is for you. So that is the meaning here. And now let's look at the next point. Assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation. Good. That is from verses 9 to verse 10. And at this point, we look at confessing and believing. That is from verses 9 to 13. Confessing and believing. Verses 9 to 13. And the next one, asking questions on faith. Asking questions on faith. Here we have an assurance that, verses 9 to 10, that is confessing and believing. Here we have an assurance that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Here is not just confessing, it's not just declaring with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Even as you are declaring, you believe within down your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. So not just a mere confession. See, I remember just recently I was away and I was on a bus and it's like the bus was about to have an accident. You know what? Even those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, they were mentioning, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So it's not like that. It's not shouting Jesus Christ. It's confessing Jesus Christ and also believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Or God has saved him, raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. Amen. So it's not just shouting and mention the name of Jesus Christ. It is about confessing and believing that you are in your heart that Jesus came to die for you and me. He is our personal Savior. He is our personal Savior. Now, let's go to asking questions on faith. That is from verses 14 to 15. Asking questions on faith. These are some of the questions. How can they call on the name, on the one they have not believed? So it's just before they will believe or they will confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they must believe that Jesus is their Lord, is their Savior. You cannot confess without believing. So first, before we confess, we must also, there should be confession that or acceptance that Jesus is the Savior. How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? This means that we are to send the gospel out there for people to hear about Jesus Christ as the Savior and only Savior. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. Forever I am the way. How can they preach unless they are sent? Yeah. Preaching is about calling though. Yet, preachers or those who share the gospel is sent by God's agents. Human being or through human being. Hallelujah. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. How beautiful is the feet of those who bring the good news? It's good news is about the gospel. It means that you are using your feet. And it's beautiful to do that because it is wrong to do something which is not beautiful in the sight of God. So whatever we are doing, we are using, we go and share the gospel. We use our feet, use our energy. It's beautiful in the sight of God because we are doing his ministry. So how beautiful it is for God That you and I, like my sister, she always goes out there. Sister, sorry, I'm forgetting your name. Amen. We need to join hands together. Go out there, like my sister here. Evilly special. You see, evangelism is not, it's about two things. An evangelist can be called. But remember, it's you and I, it's our responsibility to go out there to share the gospel. Amen. I've been encouraging my sister that your music has not come to her, my sister. My sister. Amen. And my brother. So the ministry, if God has called you, God has called you. Amen. For the ministry. Brothers and sisters, I'm so tired, checking my time. I think I'm done with 15 minutes, right? Okay. It is for us to confess Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and King. This time around, if we try to be righteous, you know, by self, it means we are failures. It is no longer I again. It is about Jesus Christ that lives in us. Amen. That controls us. It is not I. We cannot use our strength, our power, our own effort to be able to earn grace. And say, yay, I follow all the laws. I've been able to go through all the laws. Who told you? You cannot. It is not just possible. That's why God is so love that, you know, in his own wisdom and understanding, and because he loves you and me, he sent his son, the only begotten son, to come and die for you and me. Hallelujah. Our Lord is ready to forgive us today and now. If we will confess our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our God is so forgiving. How hopeless it will be if our God is not a forgiving God. We hope you and I will be hopeless. He's so forgiving, irrespective of what you and I will do or has done. He loves you so much. People may hate you. People may say all kinds of things about you. People may, sometimes they will frame, they will fabricate, they will say certain things about, which is never true. They don't even know you. But they will say all kinds of things. They will just begin to hate you. They don't even know much about you. Even what they are talking about, they don't know and really understand the story. But even if it's two, they will just go out there and make it three. Not even three. Five. Not even five. They make it ten. That will spoil you. But you know what? After Jesus, he loves you. He loves you. His love is so deep that you and I can never understand it. You and I can never understand it. So deep. His love doesn't change. Amen. A lot of people are looking for peace today. But I want to tell you, the best peace is found in Jesus Christ. Let somebody say amen. The best peace you can ever have is found in Jesus Christ. Remember when he was going, he told his disciples that I'm going, but I'm leaving my peace with you. And the peace that I am leaving with you is not the peace from the world. It's the peace from me. You see, a lot of people don't have peace today. I know millionaires. You know, I was living in Vancouver. The actress and actresses in Canada, that's where they live. Actually, Vancouver is very beautiful. Most of you know that. So that's what they like. And the weather is very good. I don't want to go there because it may go and lie. So, praise the Lord. So what I mean is that, you know, a lot of millionaires, they don't have peace. Why? Because no Jesus. You see, when you don't allow Jesus to control your marriage, to control your life, to control everything, you may mess up. Because our effort may not work. I am not saying that you don't have to do anything. You have to do anything. But we give everything back unto God. That, Lord, this is for you. Use it. I belong to you. Use me too. Amen. Please understand that peace is not something. Peace is not what? It's not something here. But peace is a person. Amen. I said peace here is not, I'm not talking of something. I'm talking of a person. And that peace is Jesus Christ himself. He's the one who comes into your life and your life can change and peace can come in there. So the peace here is not something. The peace is a person here. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. He has stretched forth his hand and said, are you ready to surrender? I am not saying that if you come forward or if you surrender, it means that you have sinned or you are practicing something that is not decent before the Lord. No. Even sometimes, you see, that Adamic nature has taken over our lives. That's why Jesus is saying that we need to accept him. We need to confess him. We need to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. So what is the gospel? I've been asking. What is the gospel? The gospel is simple. The gospel is Jesus came to die. This is the meaning of the gospel. Jesus came to die for you and me. He was buried. He was resurrected, ascended to heaven, and he will come back again for judgment. Simple. That is the gospel. Amen. So we need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the last point, I think, message of salvation. Message of salvation. And under this point, which is from 16 to 21, and under this point, we talk about three main points. Israel's unbelief. Israel's unbelief. Number two, faith by hearing. Faith by hearing. Number three, invitation to the Gentiles. Invitation to the Gentiles. So Israel's unbelief. We all know that Israelites disregarded the message of salvation. They didn't like it. They missed the point. They missed the point. Unbelief. They did not believe this, the salvation of the message of salvation. Number two, faith comes from hearing. So before you and I can have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's about hearing the word of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel. Yeah, we have other interpretation, but that is the meaning here. Hearing the gospel. So faith comes by hearing. Remember, Israel's unbelief is just on verse 16. Faith by hearing is verses 17 to 18, and the other one is by invitation to the Gentiles, which is from 19 to 21. 19 to 21. So Israel's belief, unbelief. Remember, Israel did not understand that salvation is in Christ alone. That is why Paul is trying to explain it here. Salvation is not from Christ. That was their point. Number two, faith by bringing, by hearing. That's from verses 17 to 18. This means that before we can have faith in Jesus Christ, we need to hear the gospel. What is the gospel? Like I explained to you, Jesus came to die for you and me. He was buried. He resurrected, ascended to heaven. So that is the gospel. So, and the other one is invitation to the Gentiles. Invitation to the Gentiles. Let's read 10:21. 10:21. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to disobedient and obstinate people. So Jesus, or Paul, is saying that Jesus, even though he's quoting from the Old Testament, all he's saying that Jesus has stretched forth his hand. So are you ready for salvation? Are you ready for Jesus? Are you ready? So Jesus loves everyone, irrespective of how people classify you. You remember the story of this woman in Matthew chapter 7, 39 to 50? Luke chapter 7, 39. You remember that story? The Bible says that there was a woman in a city, in a community, and actually she was a prostitute. And everybody disregarded this woman. Even people did not want to go near this woman. And Pharisees saw this woman as something that they don't have to even go near her. And the Bible said that one day, Jesus Christ was invited to a house. And that house was a Pharisee's house. And when Jesus sat down and he was about to eat, there was a woman. This woman just entered the house and he was holding a bottle with a perfume. She broke the bottle and poured the perfume on the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And she started kissing the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that she used her hair to wipe the what? The perfume. I believe her hair wasn't like this. Not short, maybe long. Amen. That long hair. Praise the Lord. To wipe it. And the Pharisee who invited Jesus Christ stood somewhere and said, no, what is wrong with this man? I don't think this man is a prophet. Because if she truly she's a prophet, he's a prophet, he would have known that this woman is not clean. She's a prostitute. Everybody here knows that. This woman is not clean. What is wrong with this man? I don't even believe. Let me go back. I don't believe that she's truly a prophet. She's a fake prophet. He's a fake prophet. You know, Jesus said, he said, Simon, you know, even when I came to the house, he didn't even give me a cup of water. And look at what this woman has done. Crying. Feeling so sorry. So what is my point here? My point here is that people will neglect you. People will say you are the sinners. We cannot even describe how they describe you. They'll put you in a corner. They will say you don't even qualify to come to IBC. But I want to tell you, IBC welcomes everybody. Amen. IBC welcomes you. And the most important thing is that Jesus Christ welcomed this woman. And said, woman, if they don't love you, I love you. What's my point here? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Irrespective of how people see you. Irrespective of people, how people are saying you are. You are a prostitute, you are this, you are this. If only you surrender all. If only you surrender all. You remember the woman they arrested and brought to Jesus Christ? This woman has, and remember they had left that man to go. See how they were cheating them with the woman. And said, Jesus, we saw this woman right having it with the man. And Jesus started writing on the floor and said, he said, even though you have not sinned before, you'll be the first person to throw stone on this woman. He started writing on the ground. You know this story already. Before he realized, everybody had gone. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Amen. Amen. I spent almost 30 minutes, right? Okay. Let me conclude my sermon. Oh. I believe we do something about it. Church leader, please do something about it. This is kaput. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like this song. We can sing together. You can project it. Blessed Assurance. I'm just using about 3 minutes. Then I'll conclude my sermon. I'm not a good singer. One of you can come and help me. Or the choir, come and help me. I'm very poor at singing that. It's here. So we sing with the congregation. But sit down. You can turn, you can hold your whatever way you. No, blessed assurance. One, four.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, the fullness of glory divine. Hands of salvation, riches of God, born of his spirit. Glory, this is glory, this is my song. This is my song.
You can look here, please look here.
All day long, this is my story. This is my song. This is my song.
Perfect submission.
Perfect submission. Perfect delight. Wishes of Russia. Pass on my side. And she's descended. Pray for above. Pray for the mercy.
This is my story.
This is my story. This is my song. This is my Savior. All the day long. This is my story. This is my song. This is my Savior.
Are you ready? So I'd like to call our brother Varun for the invitation.
All right, shall we stand together as we respond in song?